And the hymn writer says it, our Heavenly Father watches over us. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. As we come today, God, we pray that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today, encourage another, and we'll be so careful to give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's give God a praise today in this place. Always honored to stand before you. And I was thinking on a kind of a throwback when I first started preaching many years ago. Some of the older preachers gave me some good advice. Said, when you preach, before you line your text, you acknowledge your wife. I haven't done that in about so many years. So I want to thank God for my wife. Look at that. That's how you get points, brothers. There's a word from the Lord that comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 5. I'll read what we've presented today, but I'm also going to read from the second version as well, and that is the Message version, which oftentimes gives a little bit of a different take on the same passage. Chapter 7, verse 1, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now here's how Eugene Peterson writes it in his Message Bible. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing holier than thou instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. That's the Message version of the Gospel of Matthew. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, Who Made You Judge? The story is told of the owner of a manufacturing company who does a drop-in by the plant. And when he walks in, he sees a young man lazily leaning on a crate, hands in his pocket. And he goes to him and says, young man, what do you get paid a week? He said, startled, $300. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you $300 right now, and this is your last day. Young man took the money, stuffed it in his pockets, walked out of the plant. By that time, the manager came over and said, what happened? He said, I told that young man he wasn't doing his job, so I paid him a week's salary. He's gone. He said, that was not an employee. He was just a delivery man. So you never know. Amen? I want to suggest this morning that criticism mishandled and misguided can place each of us in the role of judge and jury. Jesus was addressing the Pharisees. They always started trouble. They were known for following Jesus around just to start something. If you want to see a Jesus who got folks straight, watch how he responds to the criticism of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were those who were a part of the Jewish sect, middle class people who thought they knew everything about the scriptures. But Jesus on this day had been busy. He had been teaching and preaching about prayer and about fasting and about giving to the needy and about worry and about not putting our treasures in heaven. And he has had it up to here. Aren't you glad you served that kind of Jesus? We often paint him as humble and lowly. But Jesus didn't take any stuff. And so the question becomes, who made you the judge, the church edition? I came across an author this week that found rather fascinating, Eric Bargerhoff, in his book, The Most Misused Verses in the Bible. Now, he believes that Matthew 7 is used and abused, both by Christians and non-Christians. He says, those who mishandle these verses often use them as a shield for sin, a barrier to keep others at bay, allowing them to justify living as they please without any regard for moral boundaries or accountabilities. Welcome to courtroom A, the courtroom of life, and Jesus is sitting as judge and jury. I think we ought to take note today that he makes an observation that leads to holy frustration and concludes with a set of recommendations. Verse number one, observation. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So for a moment, let's take out the you and say us or me. That's making the text real. Otherwise, we'll say, get them, Jesus, those Pharisees. Jesus issues a command. He's saying, don't do it. Warning lights have gone off. Flash, do not enter. He's trying to encourage us not to judge. And to judge really is to criticize. Am I by myself today? We're all guilty of judging. All guilty of saying, yeah, you know, if it was me, I tell you, I just don't know about these young people. I don't know. When you know you've been through the same thing. Can I just go off script? We're all guilty. But Jesus makes an observation. And even if we don't say it verbally, we have to look. May not say anything, but just. Amen? Non-verbally, like the neck, the head. But Jesus makes the observation. He's been around these Pharisees long enough to know exactly where they are going. They've got this belief. They've got this mindset that they're really held to a higher standard, that they're really better. And sometimes the church is guilty of having folk to come in. They say, well, my God, I know you at work. If your church is like that, I don't want to come. Yeah. Or they see us, you know, on Monday, and we're a totally different person. And so we are the church. Yeah. We are the body of Christ. And wherever we go, we're taking the name of Jesus with us. There's a belief that we should judge or criticize ourselves first. The things that bother us in others are often the things that we dislike about ourselves. And so often we make a judgment call based on tainted or bad information, based on what came across the gossip line, based on what you read on Facebook or Instagram. You automatically say, I wouldn't have posted that. I don't know. Well, Facebook said it. Or I heard about it somewhere where I read a text. And so we have to realize that we are not the judge. Amen. Who made us the judge? Lamentations 3 and 40 says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. As judge, Jesus makes an observation. But there's also a level of frustration. And one thing about the text, you will find the tension in the text. You will sense, ooh, that didn't feel right. And didn't you see here that Jesus says in verse 3, and I imagine in my own mind's eye, he's about had it up to here. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Let me just pause there. Jesus knew about sawdust. He knew about wood. He worked in his father's carpenter shop. He knows what it means. He's credible. He says in verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank, a 2x4 in your own eye? Am I helping somebody today? I'm helping me. Jesus is fed up with these religious leaders with questions like, why do you? How can you? Can you detect the tension? He brings to light what the Pharisees have missed, what the Pharisees have overlooked about themselves. He shows them that they've got a vision problem. I was kidding earlier about making sure the screen was in focus. Now, I'm one of them things, either nearsighted or farsighted. I think I'm farsighted. That means that closer objects appear to be blurred. And so sometimes we need to go get our eyes checked for a new prescription as we view others. This is not an amen sermon. It's a one to help us. Amen. And can I just go there for a minute? Can I just testify? I found myself over the last few weeks being guilty of the very thing that I'm preaching about. Oh, don't leave me hanging. And I said, you know what? If the word of God is the word of God, it ought to help you. It ought to pull you up. It ought to change you and transform you and make you better and put you on the right track. And that's what this word does. We are guilty of judging and being critical of others. And Jesus has had enough. There's the frustration we see here. And then it came to mind a text or a particular set of scriptures that I recall in the book of Galatians 6, 1 and 2. And Paul writes, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The very thing you say, I could not believe they did that. If we're not careful, the same thing will get us. I hope I'm going somewhere today. And so we got to resist being so hypocritical. We got to resist being so judgmental. Thank God that there's only one judge, and he's still on the bench. As judge, there's a display of frustration. Who made you judge? After he takes a closer observation, but then he also makes a recommendation from the bench. Verse 5. And I wonder what Jesus' inflection was. Did he say, you hypocrite? Or did he say, you hypocrite? I'm not able to tell in the text if his voice went up. He says, first, take the plank out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. There's a ruling from the judge, from the bench, with instruction from Jesus. There's something he wants the Pharisees to do, and you and I as well. He recommends we take the plank out of our own eye. This can be a painful procedure. Outpatient. Look in the mirror. Because we become so comfortable, all of us, with what we don't see or rather have ignored. Amen? It's outpatient. It can be done in a moment's notice. Just take time to take the plank out of your own eye. And then you're in a better position to help your brother and sister. Paul seems to be saying, in a way, Philippians 2, 3, and 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition. I told him I was going to get him straight. Yeah. Or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Yeah. Not looking to your own interests, but each of the interests of the others. Yeah. Is court over yet? And before we dismiss court for this morning, there's a reminder. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too will be judged. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I tithe. I buy Girl Scout cookies. I buy pizzas. I support the children. But you still will be judged. And I still will be judged. We're at the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat. We will stand before the Lord in judgment. That ought to cause you to shake a minute. You mean all the stuff that I've done? No, I'm in. I'm a believer. I'm saved. But I still must be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And our works will be revealed with fire. They'll be tested and see the quality of one's work. I thought I was doing something. You ought to see my resume. Tell you, I joined church at an early age. Along the way, I took part in the Christmas plays. And I got a certificate for Vacation Bible School. And you don't know what I've done. I started a church. And I'm the pastor. Yeah. And you still will be judged. Who made you judge? But you got to come before the judge. And that's good. If you're a non-believer, the flip side is you'll go before the great white throne. You don't want to go before that. That means something is missing and you're in the wrong line. So instead of judging and criticizing, do what Mahalia Jackson did in her old song. If I can help somebody, as I travel along, if I can help someone with a word or a song, if I can help somebody from doing wrong, then my living will not be in vain. So instead of kicking someone to the curb, say, I got mine, instead of giving them the hand. Oh no. Been there, done that. Take time to give them an invitation. An RSVP. And say, come on and go with me to my Father's house. There's peace and love in my Father's house. You know, he is the judge. Amen. There are answers in my Father's house. You know, he's the judge. There's deliverance in my Father's house. If you will just come with me. There's love and joy and hope and healing and restoration all in my Father's house. He is the only judge. But before I leave you today, I'm looking for a witness or two who don't mind saying, I swear to tell the truth. the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. And I'm glad today he's helped me. Because when I was down, he raised me. When I stepped out of line, he brought me back in. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth. So help me, God. He saved me because he went on an old rugged cross. That's the truth. Are there any witnesses in the house today who don't mind saying, I thank God that you didn't catch me with my work undone? And so rather than judge, I'll tell somebody, you know, I know the judge. He's my savior. I know the judge. He's my deliverer. I know the judge. He'll move you. I know the judge. Anybody know the judge today? Oh, aren't you glad today that he will restore you? Who made you judge? My God, you got the robe on and you're not a real judge. You've got the gavel and you're not a real judge. May this word find us well. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. Come on, give God some praise today. Come on, give him praise. Nothing like when the word helps you. My God, everything in the word is to benefit us. And the Holy Spirit reveals what we need. And my dear brothers and sisters, I needed that word. Had to put me back in line. Come on now, who you think you are? Who made you the judge and the jury? Just as I am. That's how we got to come. Just as. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's good news. As we come today, the word of God ought to catch us in the back alley, jack us up in the collar. Say, who do you think you are? And when he does that, you can run, but you can't hide. And so I testify again. I did a little judging, you know, a little side judging. Wasn't no heavy stuff. But just enough to where can blessings and cursings come out of a same mouth. And man, that thing got me, and I'm better now. So I brought it to you. Thank you, Lord. That it might help you as well. Yes. Now, let me do a footnote. This does not mean you can't pull folk up. It does not mean you can't say, but make sure. That when you do it, that you ain't, you know, got it, that big old, I mean, you can remove it, what you've revealed. Listen. Been there, done that, and I'm helping you. Because I had that thing in my eye. But now that I've moved mine, can I? Let me. It won't hurt. It didn't hurt me, but I. And so we can do that once we've been transparent enough to let folk know, oh, I know where you've been. But thank God for deliverance. As we bow today, Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the removal process. That we can see clearly now that the plank is gone. Father, I pray for now this word might find root in our hearts today and might help us to be better for you. Father, if there's one today in this place, that all they know is that Christians have been coming around trying to mess with their eye. Let them know that you see everything. And what you see is for the lost, salvation. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. Save someone today, God. May someone come by way of our honest testimony, not our judgment. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a praise today. Amen. He's a mighty good God. I feel better. Why? I got it off me. Put it on y'all. Right when you think you want to do it, you'll feel a tingling in your eye. Right when you say, what about that? You'll start doing, you'll start batting. What was, isn't God good? Come on, celebrate the Lord today. How he loves me. Oh, how he loves. We're about to make transition.